Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Spiritual Excellence, a study of practical discipleship. In this session, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. Excellence costs your commitment. In your commitment to Jesus Christ, where are you? On a scale of 1 being Judas and 10 Paul, where would you be found? And what would move you up a notch? Look at Luke 14, verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Jesus used the building contractor illustration to teach discipleship. What would it cost for you to become more committed? Look at Luke chapter 6. Verse 49 down to verse 46 down to verse 49. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Do you understand discipleship? Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, talk about discipleship. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Just that imagery that Jesus uses of the yoke, of you being yoked to Jesus, it's an imagery from agriculture of the oxen who would pull the plow to plow the field. There would be an older, more experienced oxen, and then there would be a young one that needed to be trained. And that young one he didn't like being in that yoke, and he didn't like being controlled. He wanted to just go off and do what he wanted to do, and so he pulled against that yoke. But that older, stronger, more experienced ox would just keep pulling it, and he would be wrestling and fighting and fighting, and eventually he would give in and he would begin to follow the leadership of the older one. And Jesus is giving that imagery to say, you be yoked with him and learn of him, and he'll guide you in the right way. He will disciple you to maturity in your walk, in your service with him. Moses understood commitment, and he used the brevity of life as his motivation in Psalm 90, verses 1 through 10. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like asleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it's cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, or if by reason of strength they are 80 years, and yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Verse 4 puts our years in perspective. Illustrates how brief life is. Verse 5 demonstrates that our days are so fleeting and inconsequential. Verse 7 points out that our entire life passes by like a season. The journey of our life is so full of sin and labor that even a full 80 years is full of sorrows. And then it's gone in only a second. With that background, notice what verse 12 says. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The price of commitment is very high. John chapter 6, verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" And then in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Just consider for a moment from our text in Luke 14, the cost of discipleship. First of all, commitment costs in relationships. Verses 25 and 26. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Commitment also costs in goals and desires. Verse 27, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And it also, commitment costs in possessions. Verse 33, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." But let me ask you, are you holding on to too much? Luke 12, verse 15, "And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Luke 12, verse 34, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." John chapter 3 and verse 30, this is John the Baptist speaking of Jesus. "He must increase, but I must decrease." Jesus used the illustrations of building and fighting in Luke chapter 14, verse 28 down to verse 32. "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. What king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace." Commitment is costly. Discipleship is costly. Excellence is costly. Spiritual growth comes with a high price tag. Jesus knows. He counted the cost. He is the king of verse 31. "Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Listen, focus on the cost of commitment by Jesus to save you for a moment. The cost that he paid on Calvary's cross. What kind of commitment that was and what it cost him in order to save you. Let me ask you, what are you holding on to? Or what's holding on to you? And what limit have you placed on your commitment to Jesus Christ? You answer those questions, and you have a great day.